and that we believe the Lord. In fact, I've asked the young people to be in here as well. We've got junior church in here with us this morning, and because I want them to hear what the Lord's given us here, and what the Bible has for us this morning, what the Lord has for us this morning out of the Word of God. And having said that, I want you to, if you will, parents, help me. Kids, get off the phone. Don't be drawing. There's something that God has for you that we need for you to hear this morning, okay? Very important. I want you to go with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 20. Leviticus, chapter number 20. I've been fairly silent about the things going on in our country for the last several weeks. Haven't said very much. But the truth is, for me to remain silent would be a derelict of my duties as a pastor. And I think you'll see that even more as we get into the message today and look at the Word of God. Leviticus chapter, thank you, number 20. And I want to start just looking at one verse. And we'll be in this chapter looking at several of these verses. But in chapter 20, verse number 23, if you'll look at that with me. If you're there, say amen. Love to hear the pages turning of the Word of God. I like when people carry their Bible, not a phone, not an iPad or something else. I preach, I put my notes on an iPad. The only things on here is notes. But I've got my Bible and I read from my Bible and study from my Bible. And so, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed," and I want you to notice this little phrase, "for they committed all these things. And therefore, I abhorred them." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We don't love you like we ought to. God, help us to love you more. We ask you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, be with my stammering lips of clay. I pray, Lord, you'd arrest the attention of those here this morning. I pray, God, that you would illuminate us through your word. I pray, God, that you would encourage us, edify us, but at the same time convict us, Lord, for where we are as a people and as a nation and even personally. God, you do a work in our heart. I pray you cleanse me of my sin and to me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit. I pray this morning that you would help us to say only the things you'd have us to say, nothing that does not need to be said. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this morning, I love the United States of America. I'm so glad that I was blessed and privileged, and it is a blessing and a privilege to be birthed and to be able to be raised up under the banner of that flag. I love this country. I'm glad we had apple pie and baseball and all those things growing up as a young person. Do you realize what we're doing this morning as we've come here to the house of God, gathering around with other believers and studying the Word of God? We've come together and we're fellowshipping with the people of God, singing the songs of God, and now listening to the preaching of the Word of God, and all, doing it all in a nation where the people have had this religious freedom for many years. And I thank God for it, that we still do. I don't know how long we'll have it. I don't think it'll be forever, but thank God right now we still do. And you would have to be absolutely blind spiritually not to see that God has certainly smiled upon the United States of America. You would have to be willingly ignorant, as the Bible puts it. By the way, that's dumb on purpose. Dumb on purpose. You'd have to be willingly ignorant not to be able to look and recognize and acknowledge the abundant blessings that the Lord has given to America. And I believe that God truly loves the people of America. But as I look around at what our nation has become and still becoming, folks, we're not getting better, we're getting worse. As I look around at what we've become, and as I look around at what we've allowed the norm to become, as we think about what churches have become, we think about what children in our land have become. When we look and we see what parents have become, and we notice and look at what our priorities have become, and just the average general person in our country, what we've become, it does not honor God. Things that does not bring us closer to God. Our theme, draw me nearer. Oh, but listen, as a whole, as a nation, we're not drawing nearer. We're going further and further and revolting more and more and doing things that doesn't bring us closer to God, but take us further and further from God and from the will of God. And yet our schools are being shot up every week. when our military bases are being shot up several times a year and attacked several times a year, and as storms level houses and planes level buildings, we act like nothing's wrong, and we just continue on to go further and further away from God in our nation that once revered God, the nation that once reverenced Him, yet now in so many ways we've turned our back on Him. You know, now we've, the newest thing I guess out is now we've said we're going to take So Help Me God out of our confirmation hearings when we're confirmed and when we're being sworn in. We're going to take So Help Me God because we can't have God anywhere. We'll be screaming for Him at the next 9/11, but we can't have Him anymore in our meetings and in our dealings. And in so many ways we've turned our back, and all the while we're still singing God Bless America. I'm going to tell you something. God has something against America this morning. In our text this morning, there are some things that God hated here about the people of Egypt. Notice again our text, verse 23. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things. We'll be talking about what all these things are. You can look, you back up, you'll see. And these were the same things that God hated. Watch this, about the people who were in Canaan before the Israelites came in. It's the same things God hated about them. It was the same thing that God hated about those in the children of Egypt, those in Egypt where they were just brought out of. We had Genesis, Exodus. We know we're in Leviticus now. Exodus, they just had the exit out of Egypt. And so they've just come out of Egypt, a wicked people, a pagan people. Egypt's a picture of the world, a picture of sin. And God hated those things those people were involved in. He hates the things that those Canaanites were involved in, the land that they're going to possess. You know, the Bible still says that there's no variableness with God, no shadow of turning with Him. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. He's a God that cannot and will not change. And what He hated about the nation of Egypt, He hated about the people of Canaan. And what He hated about the people of Canaan, where the Israelites were going, He eventually, sad to say, hated about the nation of Israel because they adopted and adapted to many of those sins. Because God is God, He's a God that hates sin. And I want to preach for the next few moments on the thought, some things God still hates. Some things God still hates. Back in our text, verse 23, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things. And watch this word, and therefore I abhorred them. Abhorred them. That word abhor means to hate extremely or with contempt, to loathe, detest, or abominate, to cast off or reject. And all these things describes God's feeling towards those things that took place in nations before, that took place in the nation they were going, and that's taking place in our nation today, and God hates it. He said, all these things I abhor. I want to tell you, it breaks my heart, as much as God has blessed America, that He could feel that way about many of the things that's going on in our nation today. That God would look down over the banner of heaven and look down from the splendors of glory and hate the majority of what's taking place in our nation. As we look at this morning, notice first, God hates our spiritual sins. Look with me back at verse number 1 of Leviticus chapter 20. God hates our spiritual sins. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed, in other words, his children, unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary. You see this? And to profane my holy name. We're talking about God hates our spiritual sins. Notice, first of all, He hated the who of their worship. You know who they were worshiping? It tells you right here. They were worshiping a pagan god by the name of Molech. Molech was a pagan, heathen, false god of the Ammonites and the Canaanites, and eventually, sad to say, even of the Israelites, God's chosen people. I want to say this just on the onset. Don't think that you can yoke up with other people of different religions, if you want to call it that, and it not affect you. If the very people of God, His peculiar treasure, were pulled away, if Solomon and all his wisdom was pulled away, don't think you can walk with those and yoke up with those who are the Catholics and the Buddhists and the Muslims and all those kinds of things, and it not affect you. Even those quote-unquote Baptists that aren't what we are. Listen to me. Lester Roloff came into a meeting years ago. It was a preacher's meeting, by the way. And he came in that meeting, and it's when the Southern Baptist was coming in, and the Southern Baptist came. Now, listen, I don't say much about this, but I'm going to today. The Southern Baptist came in, and they were trying to pull the thing in a different direction, and they were trying to take it somewhere that God never meant for it to go. They were changing the Bibles, the Word of God. They were changing the standards. And Lester Roloff came in, and he preached the message, things that are different are not the same. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. That's still true today. I don't care what their label is. I'm still an old-fashioned, independent Baptist, fundamental, and I'm glad about it. I want our young people to know what we are, what we stand for at Crossroads Baptist Church. We're not going the way of the world. We're not going the way of some other denomination. We're not going the way of some kind of hierarchy or convention. We're going to stay with the book. Amen? That's who we are. That's where we're going to stay. He hated their worship. They're worshiping Molech. Eventually, Israelites began worshiping them as well. He was a fire god. The people would make an altar that resembled this false fire god, and they would there worship Molech. But they had been told very clearly not to do that. Exodus chapter 20. By the way, you've been coming on Wednesday nights. You're going to get kind of a double dose. He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Because there's only one God. And can I tell you, we need to realize in this great nation, the United States of America, Allah's not God. Muhammad's not God. Listen, I'll say it, and I make no apologies for it. They're not God. Jehovah's God, and He's manifest Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? God hated who they were worshiping. He said, "I abhor it." Do you realize that while churches are closing their doors, thousands every single year, do you understand that while that's happening, a new mosque opens every single week in our country? Islam has been the fastest growing religion for well over a decade. There are currently 3.3 million Muslims in America. It's estimated by the year 2050 there'll be 8.1 million Muslims in America. Can I tell you something? That's over 8 million people in our nation worshiping and exalting someone that's not Jehovah God. And that does not even include the 1.5 million Hindus who worship all kinds of hundreds and thousands of gods. It doesn't even include the Buddhists who's worshiping Buddha and Confucius. It doesn't even include those Catholics that worship the Pope. Do you understand there are well over a half of the people in this country worship some false god or no god at all? God hates that about our country. He'll not share His glory with anyone. He's a jealous God. God hated who they were worshiping. Notice the second thing, He hated how they were worshiping. As I said before, Molech was a pagan, heathen, false god. He was a god of the Ammonites and the Canaanites. Sadly, eventually a god of the Israelites. They began to worship this pagan god, this fire god. They'd make this altar, this image of this false god, and there they would build a fire and they would sacrifice their children to Molech by killing them and burning them in that fire, and they did it as a form of worship. This was a form of worship. God said, "I hate it. You defile my sanctuary," verse number 3, "and disgrace my name by it." And I want to tell you, while it may not be quite this extreme as this, as far as our worship goes today, a lot of what's going on in our nation under the banner of worship is a disgrace to God, and it disgraces His name. This mess going on in churches, it's a disgrace to Christianity. God hates it. Can I tell you something? This dancing around in the flesh, our flesh isn't our friend. Dancing around in the flesh and worshiping God in the flesh and rocking it out in the flesh and all that kind of mess, God still hates it. It's still sin. It's still things of the world. He said, "Don't bring that mess in my house." He tells them here, "You were saved out of it. Verse number 3, and I'll set my face against that man, will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given unto the seed of Molech, defile my sanctuary, to profane my holy name. He saved us out of a life of sin. God saved us out of a life of ungodliness and out of a life of fleshliness and worldliness. I'm amazed at how so many churches want to see how close they can get to the world. I mean, good, not in their music, in their manners, in their motions, in their motives, and sadly, even in their message now. Well, they just need to feel good. Let's just make everybody, how we come in, they're going to preach about how you just need to find ourselves and our innermost. We're really all good inside. We just need to find that person who would you. Let me tell you something. You're just like I am. You're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. And if God don't save you, you're going to split hell wide open, friend. That's the truth that they're not telling you. Oh, I love you enough to tell you the truth this morning. God hates that mess. Well, we're really all beautiful people. What they don't tell you is how you'll never be anything real or right on the outside until you get God on the inside. You can't show any real love and beauty of your life on the outside until God changes you on the inside. You wonder why you still fall back in that pit? Because you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We need the Lord's help every single day of our life. Who would have ever thought that church, listen to me, who would have ever thought that church would become so much about us, so little about Him? Can I just help somebody this morning? This right here, this ain't about you. It certainly ain't about me. It's not about us. It's all about the Lord. It's all about worshiping and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they come in now and they say, well, preacher, what can the church do for me? You got to give them 57 things before they even think about visiting your church, all the programs, all the things, all the free gifts that are going to come and all that. Where before it was come in, man, what can we do for the Lord here? We've catered to the world. These, quote, spiritual leaders have said, well, let's give them what. I remember reading a book years ago. I just surrendered to preach, and I didn't read very far. This guy quoted from Rick Warren, and he was talking about how to build a church. And the man said, well, what you do, this was Rick Warren's advice, is you send out flyers throughout the whole community, send out these flyers or these forms for them to fill out. What would you like to have in a church? Now I'll tell you something, friend. That ain't nowhere in these 66 pages books right here. God will tell you how that church ought to be built. What do you want in the church? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 3 says, notice what else he says. God said you defile my sanctuary by your worship. He says in verse 3, and I'll set my face against that man and I'll cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed his children to Molech. You know what they were doing? They were killing babies. Tell you something God still hates. It's still sin. God still hates abortion. He hates that we're killing before this day ends. 3,000 innocent children will die. Can't defend themselves before the day ends. Think about the precious children been born recently here in this church. 3,000 of those children today will die. Killed, murder. God hates that we're killing 90,000 babies every month. He hates that 977,000 young people are losing their life every year. And since 1973, 59 million babies have died. And they've died at the hand of the one that should have been protecting them with their life, their mother. You go to Romans chapter number 1, and the Bible tells us there that they're without natural affection. Can I tell you what the natural thing is for a mother to do to love that child and to protect that child? Listen to me, friend. This is the wickedness we live in. Mothers don't even have a natural affection, love for that child to the point that they can murder them. This ain't easy preaching. It's not popular preaching, but praise God, I'm going to preach it. It's still in the Bible. It doesn't make the Lord happy. 59 million babies since 1973. If that's not bad enough, well, that's horrible, and it is horrible. Up to 28 weeks of conception. After conception, we were killing babies. Roe versus Wade, and what a horrible thing that was. And boy, we stood in awe and have stood in awe for some 40-something years about Roe versus Wade. But if that wasn't bad enough, now we just murder them all the way up to birth. Just passed a law in New York that makes it legal to abort a child all the way up until they're fixing to come out of the mother's womb. Virginia is worse than that, what they're trying to pass. And not only is it legal, it's applauded. God help us. We got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to the Lord. This bill, when this bill was passed a few days ago, it received a standing ovation, and the godless governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, ordered that the World Trade Center be lit up in pink in honor of its passage. That's wicked, friend. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I really don't like that kind of preacher. I don't think preachers ought to get involved in that kind of stuff. I really don't think Christians ought to really have a say either way, or they shouldn't really get involved. Now, I don't believe that, you know, really it's something we need to worry about. Well, I'll tell you something. God disagrees with you. Look with me at verse 3 and 4 here. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. Talking about the ones that does these things, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech. Follow my sanctuary and profane my holy name. What's verse number 4, friend? And if the people of the land, let me ask you a question. Are you part of this land? You live here? This your land? If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed to Molech and kill him not, then I'll set my face against that man. I don't believe God wants us going around killing people. I'm glad Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I'm glad that's already been settled. Our death penalty's already been settled, but he don't want us to hide our eyes or put our head in the sand either. In fact, he says if we do, we'll be just as guilty as they are. He wants us to cry out against that sin. He wants us to stand out against that sin. He wants us to do everything we can in our power to abolish that sin. He said, if any man hides his eyes, he'll be just as guilty, and I'll set my face against him also. Friend, this nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you, it's on the fast track on the way to hell, and I'm telling you, it's high time for Christians to quit hiding our eyes and acting like everything's all right. It's time for us to stand up and be counted. It's time for us to step up and be seen. It's time for us to step out and be heard. We need to sound out an alarm all over this nation that right's still right and wrong's still wrong and sin is still sin and God is still God, and if God says it's wrong, then it's wrong. Somebody needs to stand up, step up, and speak up about what's happening in our land and never back up or shut up until the Lord comes and takes us up. Well, I just believe it's a woman's right to choose. We shouldn't intervene. That's not what God says. God says if we hide our head in the sand, we're guilty. You see, it's the Lord that created that child in the mother's womb. It's only the Lord that has the right to take it away, not the father, not the mother, not the doctor, but only Creator God has that right. Notice with me here the context. It's still worship, verse 3. He says at the end of verse 3, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes, well, I think people ought to be able to worship however and whoever they want in America. Well, just really mind our own business. It's not what God says. I think we need, here's the big thing today, I think we just need to coexist. It's not what God says. You see, God outranks you, and he does them too. So you can go around with your coexist stickers all you want to. I'm telling you, those gods are going to burn in hell, false gods just like you are, if you don't trust the one true God. He doesn't have any sympathy for that kind of mess. I want you to understand, America was not founded upon religious freedom. You need to go back and study your history books again. America was founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what our society has done is fed us a bunch of lies, sold us a bill of goods, and we've bought it. And you've got the minority running the country over the majority. Did you know only 13% of America, only 13% is for, and that's still way too much, is for abortions up to the third trimester. Only 13% of America. is for it. But they're making laws and making rules. Did you know less than 1% of our country is transgender? Look at the weight they've been able to throw around with less than 1%. We've been fed a bunch of lies and sold a bill of goods, and they've tried to make us feel guilty and un-American if we say anything against this wickedness of Islam. If we say anything against, do anything against, try to limit or deter any kind of these false religions or this other filth wickedness that's coming into our country. But listen, it doesn't matter what they say. We better pay attention to what God says. And God says if we hide our eyes, we look the other way, we sit on our lees, we're guilty. Spiritual sin, God said, man, I got to hurry. Their worship. Notice secondly, they're wizards. Verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as has familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Can I tell you, God hates spiritism. And it's way more prevalent than people think it is. God hates wizards. He hates witches. He hates witchcraft. Wicca is the next to the fastest growing religion. It goes back and forth between Islam and Wicca. Fastest growing in America. And it's a whole lot closer than you think it is. You think that's out there on the backside of somewhere. Drive down Emory Road, friend, right there at Central Avenue Pike, and there's a little nice sign there. You know what it says? Right there, not 2 miles from my house. Home of the Wiccans. Oh, yes. Right there on Emory Road, Central Avenue Pike. Home of the Wiccans. I was on visitation some years ago, and we were handing out gospel tracts. I was doing a big canvassing thing. I used to take two completely packed full vans of teenagers out every Saturday, and man, we'd knock out some doors in canvas community. And we was going by Fountain City Park there, and there's this girl walking. She was all in black, and the black fingernails and everything just dark. And one of our teenage girls says, Mr. Brother Dixon, can I get out and give her a tract? So I pull over the side of the road there, jumps out. That girl turns and looks back, and she literally starts running and in some kind of chant, no Jesus, no Jesus, no Jesus. And she takes off running from this girl trying to hand her a tract. Listen to me, friend. It's right where you live. It's in your schools. It's in your communities. It's all around us. God hates horoscopes. He hates his spiritism. Do you realize over 70 million people in America read their horoscope every single day? 70 million. And a large percentage of those people are Christian. Hold your place right here. Go to Deuteronomy real quick. Deuteronomy. You see, sadly, these are all things that we know. It's things that we, some of us anyway, know and grew up on and heard. But it's like God don't hate that stuff anymore. He's the same God that he was ever since the existence of this world. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. 18:10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. And that's talking about Molech, abortion, or that useth divination. This is just spiritual ungodliness, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all these things, see that again? For all that do, here it is again, these things are an abomination of the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Watch verse number 14. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, people of God, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. I don't know how much clearer you can get than that. If you'd know how many times I've been asked and other preachers have been asked, preacher, is it wrong to read my horoscope? Is it wrong to go to a palm reader? Well, the Bible just said it is. God says, I've not allowed you to do so. I don't know how much clearer. God hates fortune tellers, palm readers. Child of God, stay away from those things. Number one, God hates our spiritual sins. Notice the second thing, God hates our social sins. The way we interact with one another, what we've become. Man, I still love the fact that I do at least live in East Tennessee. You go very far from here, and it's even getting bad around here. People still throw up their hand every now and then. Around here, you go toward Manville Union County, it gets a little bit better. I'm talking about the way we interact. Look with me at verse number 9. God hates the lack of disrespect, submission there is in this country. For everyone that curseth, back in Leviticus 20, that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Can I tell you something? God hates how disrespectful children are to their parents. He hates it. He says, this is something I abhor. You hear me, young people. You may think it's cool and you may think it's funny, but it's against God and it's rebellion. And God says, I hate it. It flies in the face of God. Every single time you say a cross word to your mother, every time you grumble at your father, God's anger is kindled. God's fire is kindled. It's putrefying in his sight. He said, I can't stand it. Leviticus 19:3. Go back to Leviticus 19. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Well, preacher, I don't want my kids to fear me. If they don't fear you, they're not going to ever fear anybody else, and especially God. Well, preacher, I don't want them to fear me a bit, for let me tell you something. My kids might fear me, but I'll promise you this, they won't talk to me the way your kids will talk to you. Oh, no. I don't want my kids to fear me. You better put the fear of God in them. If you don't, buddy, they're going to go straight to hell and burn forever. Oh, yes. See, that wasn't nothing. This is stuff, we've been preaching this, friend, for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 100 years. This is what's being preached. But some way, this isn't right anymore. And we've got a mess on our hands because of it. God still hates rebellion. God still hates folks that won't submit to authority. He hates it. He hates when children buck up against their parents. Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 23:22, if you're looking for more verses, hearken unto thy father that begat thee and despise not thy mother when she's old. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't care. As long as you're my child, you're going to do it. Or you can die. It's that simple. No matter. You choose. You choose. Children, obey your parents, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Well, preacher, that stuff's Old Testament. Colossians? Matthew 15:4, Christ quoted and confirmed it all in the New Testament as still being a command. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And when God looks at America and he sees the disrespect and he sees the disobedience and dishonor of many of our young people to their parents, he hates it. I'm talking about social sins. I'm talking about, listen, in Jewish homes it wasn't this way. If you go back to those Bible days, I said that and somewhat jokingly, but people died. And you didn't have the rebellion we have today. God hates the social disrespect in our nation, whether it's between children and parents, whether it's between citizens and law enforcement. Talking about it this morning back there about when a police stops you, how dumb it is to smart off and to not just do what they ask you to do. Co-workers and their boss, students and their teachers, church members and their pastor. 1 Peter 5:5 still says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Well, bless God, they're not telling me what to do. You're going to have problems your whole life. Look at the revolt and disrespect of law enforcement in our nation. There's an all-out war against police officers. Getting shot nearly every day. Look at the disrespect between students and their teacher. I was talking to a man the other day, a pastor friend of mine, pastors in this town, and he was telling me about one of his young men that, actually not that young, he's probably 30, but he's kind of a smaller guy. But he was telling me about how he just could not keep control of the children when he was teaching them, and I think he's teaching teenagers, and these teenagers just ran all over him. Sunday school. Kid just ran all over him. Just a total lack of respect for any kind of authority. Look at the disrespect between employees and their boss. Well, they don't deserve my respect. God said, you don't listen. You got to respect. You got to obey them. As bad as all this was, what's even worse is it's not much different, not much better in many of our churches. You got to hear some of the stuff people say sometimes. It just amazes me, some things people say. Maybe it's to one of you. Maybe it's something to one of our teachers or one of our other leaders or workers. You don't believe stuff sometimes people said to me. It just blows me away. And that's fine. I'm nobody. But there's a position that's... There's people said things to me in a million... I've told my wife, I said, in a million years, I would have never said that to my pastor. In a million years. It amazes me. Let me tell you something. If I wasn't going to a church where I could respect the leadership, I'd shut my mouth and go somewhere else. Amen. Amen? Hey, listen. God, help us. We're going to have to get back to the Bible. God hates our spiritual sins. God hates our social sins. God hates our sexual sins. Look with me here, verse number 10. America's become a sex-crazed nation. The things that would never have been accepted 30 or 40 years ago are not only accepted, but they're promoted and praised, and God hates it. Verse number 10, chapter 20. Notice what the Bible says here. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Can I tell you something? What's become acceptable in America is not acceptable to God. Statistically, 50 to 60% of every single marital relationship will involve infidelity. 50 to 60% will be affected by it. Sadly, 4 out of 10 Americans... they believe it's all right. It's acceptable. It's not what God says. He says he hates it. Our sexual sin. God hates homosexuality. Look with me at verse number 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Oh, but preacher, my son has come home and told me he's gay. Does that change the word of God? Come on, folks. It's not situational ethics. God says he hates it. The people who used to hide, we've become such a perverted nation. The people who used to hide and cower behind that sin of homosexuality, the people who used to be ashamed of that sin and at least kept in the closet have now come out, and they've come out with an agenda, and they've come out with a vengeance, and they're trying to take over the media, and they're trying to take over all the movies, and they're trying to take over our schoolhouses and take over our church houses, even now transgender pastors. God help us in this country. This is an abomination to God. He hates it. He detests it. He abhors it. He rejects it. Yet I'm supposed to tolerate it. You're supposed to tolerate it. And we're supposed to be sympathetic to it and accepting of it. But can I tell you something? No matter how much they push me, no matter how much they persecute me, no matter how many times they prosecute me, I'm going to keep on preaching against it. I'm going to keep on standing against it. I'm going to keep on fighting against it until Jesus comes. Because God still hates it. Yeah, but that's Old Testament, preacher. Go with me quickly to Romans chapter 1. Y'all having fun yet? I got about 3 more hours worth of this. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of unrighteousness. Because that when they may be known of God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, God showed it to them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They're without excuse. God showed them that he's God. Because that when they knew not, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Watch this. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. Try to bring God down to man. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Watch what they did in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use. What's the natural use it takes men and women, right? Into that which is against nature. Don't tell me you were born that way. God says it's against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was me. And look what it leads to. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Let me tell you something. If I acknowledge that there's a God, and I want to live a life of perversion, then I also have to acknowledge one day I got to stand before that God and I have to give an account for my sin. You know, it's easier to just say, well, there's no God. I don't want the thought of any God. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, didn't like to even think about God. Let's take God off of our end of our oath. So help me God. Because we're going to kill some babies. We're going to promote this perversion. Transgenders. Now we're so messed up, don't even know what bathroom to use. Our mayor wasn't long ago trying to get a transgender bathroom bill passed here. She says, if we don't pass it, we'll lose money and we'll lose businesses. Can I tell you this? Well, if we do pass that mess, we're going to lose a whole lot more than that. Oh, yes. Our country needs prayer, friend. I'll tell you something else God hates. And it's the thing that's driving every one of these sexual sins. The adultery, the homosexuality, all of it. Pornography. Pornography. Pornography is the main thing that's driving every bit of it, and God hates it. Look with me at verse number 11, starting at verse 11. If you look at these verses starting at verse 11, all the way down here it says, you've uncovered their nakedness, you've uncovered their nakedness. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. And you go on and on. That's the sin with all of it. You've uncovered their nakedness. My eyes have no business looking at anybody's wife but my own. And yours don't either. Her eyes have no business looking at anybody but me. America's number one in the world when it comes to pornography. Aren't you glad we're on the number one list? Isn't that wonderful? A number one in the entire world. We're number one in having the highest percentage of people who view it. As much as 77% of the people in America view pornography at least one time a month. 77% of the people in our nation. We're number one in production. We're number one in global distribution of it. We lead the entire world in the hosting of internet porn websites. By the way, not by just a little bit. The next closest to us is the Netherlands, who's in the second place. And they have 187 million pornographic pages. The Netherlands. 187 million, they're in second place. Whereas the United States of America have 428 million porn web pages. Well, that's just a sign of the times. Everybody's doing it. Oh, listen, the psalmist said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. God help us to be the people we're supposed to be. We hide under the precept, God is love, and God is love. Don't you ever miss that fact, but can I tell you something? There's some things He hates. There's some things He detests. God hates our spiritual sins. God hates our social sins. He certainly hates our sexual sins. He said, preacher, I realize these are things that God hates about our nation, but what can we do in light of it all? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, judgment must begin at the house of God. Judgment must begin among the people of God. I'm going to tell you something. This world will never win this world. This world is zero help to the things that's going on in this world. They're the problem. We're supposed to be the help. My Bible still says, if my people, which are called by my name, when's the last time this altar's been full of people weeping over the mess our nation's in. We sit back and look at it lackadaisical as if it's not going to affect us. It is affecting us, and it's going to affect our children and our grandchildren. And there's way too many dry eyes, friend. Oh, yes. Judgment must begin at the house of God. He said, preacher, what should we do about this new abortion law, this 100% murder on demand? And we've applauded it. We've made it legal. And if that weren't bad enough, we're celebrating it as a great victory. Preacher, what should we do? We need to march. That's what they're doing, right? The women's march. We need to march down these aisles, this old-fashioned altar, and get on our face and beg God to have mercy on our nation. And beg God for the right kind of leaders. And beg God for a faithful few, peradventure He'd spare us. While we stand for prayer, ought not be any delay. Oh, if you don't understand how dire the need is, if you don't understand how desperate our situation is, friend, you're spiritually asleep. God help us. We need some people of God that'll have enough backbone about them to come down and say, Lord, we need you. We need you. While we sing, why don't you come now? The altars are open.